Let's open our Bibles again to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Rediscovering the glory. Rediscovering the glory. Laying hold of and grasping again what God has ordained for us in the body of Christ as His kids. The place that we're to walk, the place of our worship, the place that we are in fellowship with Him and enjoying with Him a fellowship that He has always desired. Rediscovering that place of the glory. And of course, in that, hope is involved in our lives. A hope that is created in us. That is a hope that we can lay hold of and can encourage us about our own personal future. Amen? Encourage us about what God has in store for us in the days ahead. I am not going to be moved by the things that I see day to day in the news or in the world that's happening, because that's not my future. My future is in the reality of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I need to know what that is, fix my hope on that, and live in accordance to that. Did you find the book of Colossians yet? Chapter 1. Praise the Lord. We begin by reading verse 3. And let's go down to, let's just read these verses again just to make sure that we don't overlook anything. We'll start with verse 3 and read through verse 5. We continually give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah, as we are praying for you. For we have heard of your faith in Jesus, the leaning of your entire human personality on Him, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, His wisdom, His goodness, and of the love which you have and show for all the saints, God's consecrated ones. So there needs to be this genuine Christian love in the church. Amen? Look at verse 5. Because of the hope of experiencing what is laid up, reserved, and waiting for you in heaven, of this hope you heard in the past in the message of the truth of the gospel. Now, most people again reserve all of the good stuff that we are to enjoy as beneficiaries in the kingdom of God for the coming experience of heaven. And when you read that scripture, it sounds as though that's exactly what he's talking about. So you see, Pastor, you were wrong. We're not supposed to get it until we go to heaven. See, you've proved yourself wrong. Amen? Go ahead and say it. Amen. Go ahead and say it. See there? I knew you believed it. But you understand now, again, the apostle said every good and perfect gift comes from above. Where is above? Where is above? Are you a little shy about saying it? Do you not know where it is? Where is above? Oh, my God. Above is heaven. I just read it in the scripture. Hallelujah. It's in heaven where God dwells. So what you are to enjoy in the planet comes from heaven. Yes, it's laid up for you in heaven, but not for just your experience of going to heaven or you to get it. Again, he said, pray this. Jesus said it. My kingdom come. My will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Now, this is where we're to rest our hope, in experiencing what heaven has to offer here on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. We need that reality if we're going to do the work of the Lord and do it in a professional and substantial way. Isn't that right? In a substantial way. All right. Go with me to verse 9. Look at verse 9. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. Now, when you study these scriptures, it begins to dawn on you more and more that he's talking about a wisdom that we haven't been operating in. It's not a general run-of-the-mill wisdom. It's a spiritual wisdom that he has made available to us because it's connected with our operating as his sons in this world. It's not a wisdom that is associated only with personal need and personal want. But it's a wisdom that's connected to what God desires to have manifested through us in the earth so that he will be glorified, so that others will come to know him, and so that there will be a witness to God that says of a truth, he is the one true God. He is the one true God. Can't you see that this is a great desire of God? Can't you see that this is first and foremost in his heart that all of these so-called gods would be put, you know, silent, and that people would have an opportunity to come into the truth and begin to realize the blessing of serving the one true God? Can't you see this is on the Father's heart? Amen. Now that can only be realized if I'm walking in the truth. See, you are going to come in fellowship with somebody somewhere that does not believe that God exists. Are you going to come in fellowship or contact with somebody who's going to believe in some false deity? And it's going to take more than just you saying to them that they're wrong and you're right. Amen. God desires to give proof through your life. Proof of his reality. Proof of his desire to bless. Proof of his desire to reconcile men unto him and deliver them from all falsity. He desires that flow through you and I. That's a spiritual wisdom that you can receive from God. And you don't have to look at people and shake your head and think, my God, what are the people going to believe next? You don't have to walk around with that kind of an attitude. See, you're wasting your time to talk like that when you could be spending time with the Lord and gaining something that will make a difference in their lives. We seem to put people off and get some kind of satisfaction from it because we're not like they are. Make us feel good about our own experience. No, God's not satisfied with that because your experience is still not where it needs to be. It's still not up to par yet. Amen. See, we've got to learn to love like God loves. See, while we were dead in sin, Christ died for us, right? And in your own personal experience with people, you have to die to some things, like we said earlier in the first session. You know, it's counted in the scripture. It says of us that we die daily. We die daily. You have to die to some things that keep you from being a genuine witness to some people. Instead of being consoled in the fact that you're right and they're wrong, they can't see the foolishness that they're in. You know, Christians rejoiced in things like that. God could have done that. He could have said, look at those poor foolish people. They don't know what's right. We just leave them to themselves. And I'm so thankful, God. I'm so thankful, God. Yes, I'm so thankful, God. Three, you know, triune God. I'm so thankful, God, that we've got it right. No, instead, he looked beyond that and came up with a solution, which was his son. And he sent him. And he sent him. And while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. Amen. You could say, in a sense, he took a gamble on you. He trusted that there would be some that would make the right decision and give their lives to him and gain the truth. This is a spiritual wisdom that's gained from above. You got to desire it. Do you desire it? I hope so. Deep and clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into his ways. We're in verse 9 of Colossians chapter 1. Comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Oh, yes, God is looking for a people that's willing to begin to live for his ways and his purposes. Begin to ask them, am I living fully my life out to you in your ways and for your purposes? Right? There's a whole line of prayer that we as believers could pray that we'd never touch. We never touch. We get locked in to ourselves and what we think is important, and we never touch it. And it's right there in the scripture. You can draw out a new prayer to pray to God every day you pick up your Bible. Isn't that right? Every single day you could dawn on something, and it's like, I never prayed about that. I never asked God to help me with that. And I know that, you know, the scripture says, for we know not how to pray as we ought. So the Holy Spirit comes in our weakness, and he helps us with our infirmity. And he prays through us with groanings, you know, that can't be really uttered in the English language or the Chinese language or the Russian language, whatever your language may be. It can't be uttered in that, but it's groanings out of your inner reborn again, regenerate man that cries to God about who you are, who he foreknew, right? Who he foreordained, and what his purpose and destiny is for that person, which is you. I know it seems like another person because, you know, with these things, you know, we want to place them on somebody else. But it's you. Talking about you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit prays about the you that you don't know. The Holy Spirit prays about the you that you've not been acquainted with yet. You know, that place that you've been afraid to go. We find reason not to go there. Amen. That person is who your Holy Spirit is praying for and about. Let it dawn on them, Lord, who they are, what their destiny is, what you've called them to, what work lies before them, and may it grasp their heart, change them, motivate them to be doers of it. Amen. See, being doers of the word is being doers of your destiny.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It's being doers of your purpose. Yes. Praise God. I'm telling you, the biggest thing you and I need to be delivered of is ourselves.
Amen.
The devil couldn't do as much damage to you as you can do to yourself.
Amen.
And have done.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Amen. So we need that deep, clear knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Hallelujah. Why? That you may walk, that you would live and conduct yourselves in a manner that's worthy of the Lord. In a manner that's worthy of the Lord. Listen, status quo Christianity says that you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord when you get your act cleaned up. Amen. When you straighten out your life. Come on. We think about all of those outward things that so easily beset us. And when we finally get all that straightened out, then we're walking worthy of the Lord. Amen? Don't you want to walk worthy? You're not so sure? Depending upon what I'm going to say next. Hallelujah. Hey, walking worthy of the Lord is when you're operating in your destiny. Look and listen to what it says. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. Come on. You're not walking fully worthy of the Lord just because you got your act straight now. Because it is never will be completely straight. There's too much of you in the world. And too much of the world in you. But I can still obey God. And I can obey my destiny. And I can do my purpose. Because if you are of this notion and you have this theology that when you get your life where it needs to be, then you will be able to do your purpose and obey the Lord and walk in your destiny, you are completely and totally wrong. Even under the old covenant, God didn't wait for people to straighten out their life. He asked people to do things who had some real problems. And one that was after his own heart was David. My Lord, you know, complex individual, had a lot of problems, right? And it cost his family a lot of difficulty. His own personal sin cost his family a lot of difficulty. And it all came back on him hard. And yet he's considered to be a man after God's own heart. He's considered to be a type of Christ. He's considered to be a prophet. The great psalmist. Hallelujah. Amen. Came very close to the same designation that Abraham had as being friend of God. Just not said of him. But that's pretty close when you can say of one man, David is a man after my own heart. Amen. And yet, you can't really say that he really mastered his life. Never got it under the control that it needed to be under. Never did. But his heart was yet held in the hands of God. And he allowed God to maneuver it, to shape it, to fashion it to his own particular way and his own, God's own particular purpose. Amen. So you can't wait until one day you get your life where you think it needs to be in order for you to step into your destiny. You hinder your life from being straightened out by lingering in disobedience. Praise the Lord. The most progress you can make on getting your life straightened out is to do what is at hand. Amen. Obey the Lord. Amen. Walk in obedience. Praise the Lord. And just glorify God that he's willing to use a nasty thing like you. Well, let me rephrase it. I don't want to offend anybody. Naughty thing like you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, depending upon what church you're in, you know, you don't call anybody naughty because they're all saints. But they wouldn't accept that very well. Amen. You have to be careful. Praise the Lord. All right. That you may walk, that you may live, that you may conduct yourselves in a manner that's worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. See, this is the dilemma. We think that we're not fully pleasing to him because we haven't mastered our lives yet. We forget that Jesus mastered it for us and presented it to God, and God accepted it. And so now he's looking through Jesus at us, and he sees us as being perfect. Yeah, he sees us as being complete. See, right? So you walk in that knowledge, and that in itself has the power to do some things in your life that you've been unable to do all this time. Amen. Pray, man. You know, cease. He said, Jesus said, hey, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. You're heavy laden and you've been laboring over your life, trying to do things so that you can be pleasing to God. And God is saying, well, you quit. Just time out. My son has done everything that needs to be done for you to be accepted in my sight. What else do you think you can do? Just listen to me and obey me. Amen. See, trust God. When he tells you to do something, just do it. Don't argue with him. Believe him. Trust him. Walk in that obedience. All right. Good news, I think. Hallelujah. Fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things. All things. All things concerning who you are, your destiny, what you are to be engaged in, bearing fruit in every good work. Amen? And steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God, with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Now that equips you, again, just like we studied the armor in Ephesians, and we talked about putting on the different vestments of the armor. Every piece of that armor, it is a bit of knowledge about God. It's knowledge about Jesus, what he has accomplished and won for you. Every bit of that knowledge. Every bit of that knowledge. There's knowledge that is associated with the helmet of salvation, with the belt of truth, with the feet being shod, with the preparation for the gospel of peace, with the shield, the breastplate of righteousness, with the shield of faith, and with the sword of the Spirit. There is knowledge that is associated with each one of those vestments. And when you get that knowledge in regard to each one of those vestments of armor, then you are complete. You are complete. You are ready to do work for God. You're ready to go forward. You're ready to advance. See? That's what that is all about. Amen? Because if I could just go down to the local Christian bookstore and buy my armor, I would. I'd just buy it and put it on once and for all. Amen? Get it at a good price, at one of them sales, you know? Amen. Holiday coming up, they're going to have 20% off. Come down and get your armor. I could probably buy the whole set with that kind of savings at one time. Am I revealing something? See, what we like to do is work on one piece of the armor at a time. We may work on one piece of the armor and leave all of the rest off. And we're walking around, amen, exposed. We're walking around exposed. And see, the devil is going about seeking whom he can devour. And see, he's not just looking for the ungodly. He's looking for Christians especially. That is high on his list. And if he can find you exposed in any area of your life, you can guarantee it, he's going to find a place there. He's going to do some damage there. Amen? See? But God gave us this armor in his word, and it is applied every time I receive truth, every time I receive revelation. Amen? It goes directly to the place that it needs to go. Just like I said once before, you go to a doctor with an ailment, and he diagnoses you, and then he writes you out a prescription. And guess what? When you take that medicine, my God, isn't it wonderful how that it directly goes to the place where you've got the pain, where you've got the hurt, where you've got the discomfort. It's not going to your toe when it needs to go to your elbow. Come on, if it's something for your liver, it's not going to your bladder or your stomach. It's going where it's designed to go. Well, the Word of God has the same power and the same type of appointment. It's designed when you receive it, and it's attracted to the very area of the need in your life when you meditate in it, when you speak it, when you stand on it, when you believe it. It goes directly to that place. Amen. God's done a good job in designing our armor. I didn't mean to get off on all of that, but evidently somebody needs to hear again. All right. bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Just be knowledgeable of the fact that when you get this as it is written, you are fully, completely shod in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't think about this, do you? You don't think about Jesus being shod with the armor of God. He was the first one. That's right. He was the first one. He had to have the same armor that Paul tells you that you need. Right? He was tempted in all manner, such as we are. So he needed something. He was 100% man. Right? And he subjected himself in this world to the same temptations, trials, and tests that you and I go through for the purpose of showing us how to do it and overcome it. So he had to have the same armor. Paul picked up on it later after he's born again and has a visitation with Jesus and is able to disseminate that to the body. He's able to break that down and give it to us in a manner that we could receive it. Amen. That's why the Lord chose him, because he knew he could speak to through him that way. That's why every one of our ministries and our callings, our election is so precious to God, because there are things that God can communicate through you in a manner that he can't get it through anybody else. Sister Jordania told Pastor Jean and I that when she was on her missions trip, there was a sipping Christian. You know what I mean by that, right? Believe it was okay to sip wine. Ran into this person out there on the mission field, supposed to be doing something for God, and believing that they could sip a little wine. And their excuse was, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. Now, I wouldn't have thought about this, but Jordania did. And this just shows you how every individual and their personality, the way they express themselves, can get to something, say something that will hit the nail on the head. So she says to this individual, as they were trying to get her to drink a little, she says, when you can turn that water into wine, I'll drink it. Hallelujah. Man, that's right in your face from a Haitian right there. That's the way a Haitian talks. In your face. All right, when you turn that water to wine, then I'll drink. See, that should be enough to convict him till next time she sees him. So he's cleaned his act up. He's straightened out. He realizes, yeah, you know what? You're right. If I can turn water into wine, I'll be drinking the same kind. Amen. And guess what? You will not be intoxicated. And you won't get in foolishness and in the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, verse 11 says this. Let me see. I'm going to go to verse 11. Absolutely. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory. Now, that's a good word for the Christians that want to walk around and say, well, I just don't feel like I can do it. I just don't feel like I'm able. You just don't understand the things that I'm facing in my life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, here's your key to get out of that place. I call it a silly place. It's a silly place. You know, the Bible talks about silly women. There's silly men, too. There's some silly folk in the body of Christ. They just talk junk. They don't equip themselves whatsoever with the Word of God. Pray that you would be invigorated and strengthened with all power. That's a lot of power. And guess whose power it is? Come on now. The Holy Spirit is a power. Hallelujah. And you can be invigorated and strengthened with every bit of the power that he has. The Holy Spirit is able to give you every bit of power that you need, no matter what your situation. Every bit. You won't ever have an excuse to stand before God and say, well, I just didn't have made available to me the power to withstand all that evil. That won't wash in God's presence. Come on now. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's your fault if he hasn't come upon you. All you got to do is ask. You say, I feel powerless, and ask God to give you some power. Give me power. Invigorate and strengthen me by your power. Amen? According to the might of his glory. Hallelujah. We're rediscovering the glory. To exercise, watch this now, every kind of endurance. You believe you're living in the last days? Well, you're going to have some endurance then. Huh? If you believe these are the last days, you're going to have some endurance. Amen. To exercise. This is why the power comes. So that you can exercise every kind of endurance. Which brings to mind 1 Corinthians 10:13. For there has no temptation come upon you that is not common to man. But God says, I've made for you a way of escape. Amen. So that you may bear up under it. Hallelujah. Bear up under it means you endure. Amen. You will make it through it. He's given you the power to bear up under it. Hallelujah. You know, if all God needed was for you to be tempted in order to disqualify you, my God. Forget it. You don't have a chance. See, but we count ourselves out just because we were tempted. We get tempted and we say, oh, see there, I'm not worthy. I can't do God's will. If I was a true saint of God, I wouldn't be tempted like this. Where you get that from? What kind of theology is that? When Jesus was tempted in all manner such as you are, and he endured, and overcame, and sinned not. See, you got it made. He conquered it all by not sinning for you. See, God will count you victorious even if you make a mistake in sin. If you just come to him and confess it. He'll count you as more than a conqueror and triumphant. Take advantage of his grace. To exercise every kind of endurance and patience. Patience, perseverance, and forbearance. And do it with joy. Come on, cheer up. Amen. Come on. We used to sing a song, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Uh-huh. See how you say amen? You ain't happy. You're not happy. You don't respond like happy. Yeah, they got unbelievers singing songs like happy. Huh? One before him said, you know, be happy. Don't worry. And unbelievers, they're getting the message and we're walking around all gloomy. We got the joy. And we're walking around all gloomy. And you know what that is? It's that stuff in your head that's making you gloomy. That you're thinking about yourself when you can be happy. Man, I rejoice when I hear the happy song on the radio. I don't care if it is an unbeliever singing it. I sing it with him. Better watch me. I just might do a little step out there in public. My wife does it. She does. Sometimes we'll be at the grocery store, and you know how they play some upbeat grocery music? She'll start doing it. I said, honey. That's because she's happy and she knows it. It said this. It said, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Right? If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. It doesn't say that. It says your life will surely show it. I put the face in there because that's what I'm looking at. Amen. Jeremiah would have said that if he had been able to. You know, Ezekiel would have said it. Looking at them old hard-faced so-called worshipers of God. He would have said it. I'm saying it for them. He said, get them faster forward. I couldn't, you can. Amen. So I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. All right now. So now he goes on to say, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. So the portion that is yours that you have inherited, you're supposed to share. It's not for you only. Just hoard it all up for yourself. You're supposed to share. Come on, whether you got an internet connection or not. Can't do everything on Facebook. That's a safe place to witness, because nobody ain't going to say nothing back to you, to your face. And if you see it on the internet, you can just delete it. That's the safe place. God wants you person to person to share your inheritance. Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't going to read this, but it's so good. Go to verse 13. Well, let's finish verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. So we're operating from that place where he's delivered us to, transferred us to, the place where Jesus dwells. We're operating from that place. So anytime you're over there thinking to yourself something about yourself that brings you down, you're not in that place. You're not in that place. You got to operate from the place where the wealth is, where the prosperity is, where the health is, where the dominion is, where the authority is. Amen. Then you can share truly what is your inheritance. People think they're witnessing to people that say, well, he's better to me than I deserve. Just because you said that doesn't mean that you're witnessing to anybody. Well, I'm not worthy. He's better to me than I deserve. Is that all you got to say? Get in your Bible. There's lots to say in here. Help me, Lord. Let's go to verse 20. And God purposed that through and by the service and intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself. Some of the stuff I'm resisting to give myself to, God says, I want you to be a part of reconciling that back to me. What are you doing resisting that? You get over there and apprehend that I want to reconcile that back to myself. You're my instrument to do it. And we're saying, no, Lord, no, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't touch that. Jesus touched the leper. If Jesus can touch a leper, then you can witness to the prostitute and the pimp. Amen. You can witness to the drug addict and the alcoholic. Take your inheritance, though. Don't take your opinion. Because you once were everything that you detested in them. Bible says that. I'm not trying to be mean. Paul says we were once every bit it. What we see in the world that we detest. But now you've become light. God purposed that through and by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. As through him, the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. The Father made peace by means of the blood of Jesus' cross. So you're operating in the power of the blood. So you have the ability for God to use you to reconcile. Amen? When you go to an unbeliever, it looks like they're resisting everything that you have to say. And if you read the situation by what you see with your natural eyes, you'll walk away. You'll give up. But when you know that you're operating in the power and the authority of the blood, which is greater than any sin anybody ever committed, why would you believe what you see with your eyes? Amen. You see, if you go in that kind of faith, then God's capable of giving you something that they haven't heard. And that's what they need. They need something that they haven't heard. That's why God gave us the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. See, you could reach out and bring healing to an old drunkard's life. Get him healed of his arthritis while he's still an alcoholic. You can do that. Yeah, you can. You can get him delivered from his cigarettes while he's still smoking coke. You ever think about it like that? Just to prove to him that God loves him. So he got rid of the cigarettes. You don't want them anymore, do you? After he comes back to see you after about a week or so. And says, man, I'm not craving cigarettes at all. I'm still doing coke, but I'm not craving cigarettes at all. Why would God do that for me? Because he loves you. And when you get ready to get rid of the coke, come back to see me. Yeah, but Pastor, he ain't saved yet. Who said he had to get saved first? You're missing out on a lot of fun because of your religion. You're missing out on all kinds of fun because of your religion. See? You don't want to bring them to church because they smell bad. Well, just let them sit close to you. Don't let them get around nobody else. Is that the problem? You don't want to sit close to them? My God. What kind of price are you willing to pay for a soul? How much is that soul worth to God? See, it can only, find its place in salvation through a spiritual work of God. Amen. Are you willing to zip it, shut up, and put your opinion aside until you know that you know that you know that you've heard from God and then speak to them? Are they willing to let you come and just sit in the room with them without saying anything? Just because you said to them that you love them and you just sit there and watch them drink themselves drunk. Are you willing to go do that? Never thought about it, Pastor. Well, it's time you did. You say you love them. You might keep them from burning the house down on top of them. There's lots for us to do if you just think about it. See? But we see our service to God in a clinical manner. We're all dressed up. We're all perfumed up. We got our makeup on. And we're going to church. We're working for God. Let's go to the house of the Lord. I thought you were the house of the Lord. You're the temple of God. God wants you to take his temple out there among those that are lost. Take his glory in the dark place and let it shine. That's why you're rediscovering it. Do you think you just rediscovering it just so you can wear it in church? Huh? Is that why you want it? Is that why this message is interesting to you? So that you can be clothed upon with glory and sense the power and know that you're in? And be faithful to come to church. Good question, isn't it? Hallelujah. God's telling a lot of believers what their calling is, but they just don't want to do it. And so That's why we say God hasn't shown me what my calling is. See, that's why we're saying things like that. You can't tell me in the last days that God is withholding his calling from people. He's withholding his calling for some more opportune time because you'll be willing to hear it. That's not what the Bible bears out. That's not what the Bible bears out. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Praise the Lord. He said, and although you at one time were estranged, verse 21, and alienated from him, and were of hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his presence. Now that's what's working in us as believers. When I see a lost person, I want to be able to present them to God faultless, without reproach, in his presence. Amen? That's the kind of love that constrains you in doing the will of God. That's why you have to do the will of God. You mean you just have to, you got to do it. You got to do it. Because that's what he's seeking. It's not God's will. It's not God's purpose that any man should perish. That's what the Bible teaches us. But that all men may be saved. Outreach is a big thing for God. He just has to get us out of the way. Amen. Get our thoughts and our opinions and our feelings out of the way so that he can reach some people. You're capable of being a soul winner, folks. You can win souls. You're capable of that. See, but the Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Wise in what way? Wise to what we're saying here. Wise to, with comprehensive insight into God's way of doing. Amen? His way of being right. If it's okay, I mean, if it's okay for you not to say anything if you don't know what to say. That's God's way. And you're not going to get the right thing to say by rushing ahead of God and just saying something because there's dead air out there. You don't have to say anything to witness for God. All you got to do is be obedient. If he says, don't say anything, you're being a witness. Amen. It might be that that unbeliever is thinking, now watch, they're going to say this, they're going to say that. They done pegged you, and they think that they know everything that you're going to say because that's what all of those old religious people do. And we go out and fulfill their prophecy. Because we won't listen to God. You can go out and witness without a script. You don't have to have one. You can just go and say, here I am, Lord. Amen. How would you like to use me today? Amen. Here I am. Whoever you want me to witness to or talk to or have them talk to me, I'll listen if you want me to listen. Here I am. Why don't you test it out? Just give it a try and just see how God uses you. Amen. You don't go buy a car without test driving it, do you? Huh? Do you? Don't believe some of these commercials where you can go on the internet and just buy your car real easy. You better test drive it. One of the ladies of the church one time was looking for an automobile and she brought it by my house. Clean as a whistle. Clean. What you think about it, Pastor? The Lord led me to go open the boot, pull up the rubber mat, water and rust. All you got to do is just follow the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't buy this one. The salesman or the dealer, whoever, it makes it sound like it's a nice car and everything, but maybe they failed to inspect it like they should have. Somebody dropped the ball, but why should you pay for it? Amen? Why should you pay for it? Because if it rottens out, that's not in the warranty. Did you know that? That's not in the warranty. Honey, you can go and buy a car. We're going to deal with the cars right now because somebody might be wanting to buy one. You could go buy a car that's been sitting on the car lot for, you know, some of us in Christendom, we are so slow to believe God, we will pass by a car lot and see a car sitting there for months and it never moves. And we're thanking God that it's still there when you should be stepping out by faith and believing God and getting the car. Then when you finally buy the thing and you take it home, guess what? The tires have dry rot. It's not in the warranty. You're going to have to buy your own tires even though you just bought the car from them. Why? All because you sit around because you didn't have enough faith to believe that God would help you pay for the thing until you got your little money together and felt comfortable about going in there with a certain amount of money because you want to get the payments down, you know, so that you only have 66 months to pay for it. Amen. Oh, Jesus. My Lord. I brag on this kind of stuff only because I'm bragging on God. But I have never paid for a car a full term. I don't do that. That's crazy. You're paying them a whole lot more money than what you agreed to in finance charges. I like to buy the car and pay it off in a year, no more than two. And y'all look at me like, how you do that? By faith? I believe God and do it by faith. And I'm not talking used either. And it happens because I believe it. We believe that way. And do it. Just do it. That's what God wants you to do. Boy, he must be taking all of the money from the church. All of it. He just got all that money. Or he's selling drugs. You know, I've heard of all kinds of stuff. They don't believe you do nothing out there in the country, you know, where their church is, but I guarantee you something going on. That's a big old building. They can warehouse a whole lot of stuff up in there. You know, people believe what they want to believe because they don't believe that faith works. I know a lot of people that's retiring with a mortgage. I'm not. That's ridiculous. You work all of your life, and then you're going to retire with a mortgage. I mean, that's ridiculous. If you're going to build a house when you retire, pay cash for it. Amen. Don't go into debt. You're retired. Amen. You're supposed to be free to do whatever God wants you to do. You're supposed to have been that way all along, but at least now, you know, you don't have to go clock in. You're not responsible to go and tell somebody that you're ready, you're here to work. Right? Supposed to be happy days. Yes. Praise the Lord. I'm not answering the phone because I don't want to. You call on God for yourself. Pastor, you've always been like that. That's true. That's true. Amen. You grow up around here. I don't nurse no babies. Amen. No, sir. You make your bed, you lay in it. I don't come over there to make it up on top of you. Amen. It's your responsibility. Right. Why? Because you have the word and it equips you. Amen. Come on now. Mm-mm. Well, now let's see. Verse 22. Yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. It doesn't sound like to me that God has issues with you. He wants you to be presented to him holy and faultless in his presence, irreproachable. God doesn't desire to talk to you about anything ill. He has so much and is excited about so much that needs to be done. He would like to have the beginning conversation to be short, like this. Well done, good and faithful service. Enter thou into the joy, the same expressive, explicit joy that I have. You've done well. That's the way he would like to begin your experience in coming into his presence. Because after that, then he's going to let you, you know, experience the same joy that he has in being the creator, in being God. Amen. He's going to let you enjoy all of that and without limitations, without restriction. You've got something to do. That is, if you've been obeying the Lord and you don't have to go to Bible class to get you up to par. Amen. I say, get the CD, praise God, meditate in it, and get it. It's cheaper to do it this way now. Amen. All right. Now, verse 23. And this he will do provided. Oh, there's conditions in this. Oh, my goodness gracious. Holy moly. Provided that you continue to stay with and in faith in Christ. He didn't say that you stay with religion and all of those accompanying things that go with it. He's talking about you and I learning faith. Well grounded and settled and steadfast. I said well grounded. Settled. Why can't you settle down? Why you got to move around so much? Why can't you settle down? Why are you so antsy? Well, Pastor, my clock is ticking. Come in, let me take the battery out of it. Hey, man, you're listening to TikTok when you should be listening to the Word. Forget about your battery. Hallelujah. You're like Moses. Come on, he was strong at 120. Strong man. The only reason he had to die at that time is because he just let his pride get in the way and his anger. See, and tried to help God. He would have lived longer than that if he hadn't let that get in the way. He would have went into the promised land and been there for a long time. There's no reason that he couldn't have. See, no reason whatsoever. So we need to just be settled, be well grounded, be steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope. See, once you get into a message, you're not supposed to ever discard it to get another message. See, everything's supposed to be added to whatever you already have and have retained. I don't stop thinking about this just because I may get over on finances. Come on, I don't stop thinking about that just because I get over on health. All of this is interconnected. Amen. Every truth strengthens the next reality of that you receive from God. It ushers you into another place where you can hold another truth. I'm surprised at some of you. You used to could hold your liquor, but you can't hold the truth. I'm so surprised. Huh? People tell you to quit, and you're like, I can't handle it. I'm so okay, let me drive you home. I don't need you to drive. I can drive my own car, thank you very much.
Burp.
Huh? You said so strongly that you could do these things. You were bold in your sin. And then we act like that's just too much. Too many words in that passage to think about. You lost your mind when you were drinking and smoking and sipping and carrying on. You just lost your mind. I'm trying to help you to keep it. The mind of Christ. Well grounded, settled, steadfast, not shifting, moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the gospel, the glad tidings. That's why we need to stay in the word every day. Which you heard and which has been preached and as being designed for. Oh, the word was designed for this. Designed for and offered without restrictions. Designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister. I have become a minister of the gospel that Paul preached. I didn't know that that was going to take place when I got saved. I didn't know that. I did not know that. See, and if I had not followed the Lord to get me to this place that people dread to be and have difficulty becoming a part of, if I had not allowed God to bring me to this place, I could not make that declaration to you. Amen. That I've been called to preach the gospel, Paul's gospel, basically, because he said it's my gospel. I wouldn't have made it to this place if I had just submitted to other people who said that we were supposed to do certain things a certain way. Could have been successful at it. Because I believe I could sing my sermons better than most people that I've heard sing them. I really do. I believe I can moan better. Yeah, my wife would help me. We'd be a team, buddy. I'm telling you, we would team up. Everybody would be slobbing, getting handkerchiefs out, runny noses, having a ball, having a sloppy good time. And God says, that's not preaching my gospel. That's not what I want you to do. And I saw it, and I accepted it. I just accepted it, not really knowing what I was accepting. Because I, like most people, thought that if God calls you to do something, everything's going to be easy. You won't have any trouble. Everybody will love you, commend you, pat you on the back. And just, no matter how inconvenient it was, they would make their way to be with you because you're doing God's will. Boy, did I ever find out that was wrong thinking. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. Isn't that what the song says? Oh, come on, you know you've heard the song. Look at verse 24. Even now I rejoice in the midst of my sufferings on your behalf. Now see, if you use that as criteria for individuals to preach their trial sermon to be accepted as a pastor, they probably wouldn't like that as you counsel them in the office before their trial sermon. They probably wouldn't like that. You're going to have to learn, son, to rejoice in the midst of your sufferings on the behalf of the people, because you're going to suffer so that you can bring forth the word that's best suited for them. Oh, I thought I could just sing it, shout it, dance it, and have a good old time. No, you're going to have to suffer so that you can deliver the right word. The true word of God. And in my own person, I am making up whatever is still lacking and remains to be completed on our part of Christ's afflictions. This is all qualifications to be a minister. Are you ready? Raise your hand and make this solemn vow. Are you ready to pledge your allegiance to God in this manner? See? That's the only way that it can happen. If you want to preach, if you want to teach and preach the true gospel, this is a part of it. You will suffer with Christ in order to, you know, share what Christ would have you to share. And he said, for the sake of his body, which is the church. So that's the reason why, you know, we go through what we go through. It's all based on, you know, this is the way God can squeeze us and have come out what he wants. You're going to be squeezed. One way or the other, might as well be squeezed for the right reason. Isn't that right? Amen. See, if you don't work on this and let God do what he wants to do, then something's going to come out of your mouth that's going to embarrass you. Amen. All right, verse 25. I got about 30 seconds. In it, I became a minister in accordance with the divine stewardship which was entrusted to me for you as its object and for your benefit. You mean I'm going through all this stuff for y'all? My. And even if you don't treat me right, it's still my calling. It's still my election. And it's still my duty. And I gladly do it. As you are its object and for your benefit, to make the word of God fully known among you. Hallelujah. To make it fully known among you. That's what we're called to do. Amen. So say, God help our pastor. Lord bless him. Lord, keep him. Oh, yes, and he's doing every bit of that. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you for showing us clearly and plainly what our purpose, what our is in completing all of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't always end on such a serious note.